G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
We started last week and we were talking about how to handle pressure, and I wasn't planning to preach another part, but I really felt on my heart that's what God wanted me to do. And so it's always good to do what God wants you to do. Is that right? Can't go wrong when you do what God wants you to do. The times we go wrong is the times we decide to do what we want to do. Hey, but if we're doing what God wants us to do, then he's always going to take the responsibility to ensure that it works out. So John 16 verse 33, give me an oi when you're there. And verse 33, and Mark chapter 4, we'll come to that in just a moment. So I want to recap a little bit of what we said last week and then just go a little bit deeper into some of these issues. So Jesus is speaking and he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now that word tribulation, it can be translated as pressure. It's a Greek word, thlipsis. And it means pressure, it means oppression, it means stress. So Jesus is saying, in the world, you will have stress, but be encouraged because I've overcome the world. It also means adversity, affliction. It's really, I remember in the word wealth of my Bible, is talking about that this word is used to describe the crushing of grapes or olives in a press. So when it's talking about tribulation, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to feel pressed at times. In this world, you're going to feel that pressure, that press, just like the grapes and olives that are being pressed. And so last week we talked a little bit about how pressure situations are inevitable. Everybody's looking for situations where there'll be no pressure, but the reality is, in this world, you're going to have pressure. All right? Things are not always going to go your way. People are going to let you down and you will be opposed. You know, if you find that everything you do is without opposition, if you're not getting any trouble from the devil, I'd suggest you're probably flowing in the same direction. You know, if you're floating downstream, oh man, I'm just taking it easy, I'm just going to go with the flow. Well, you'll never run into the devil that way. Hey, even a dead fish can flow downstream. Takes no effort. But to walk in the kingdom of God means that you've got to allow the life of God to empower you and you've got to go against the flow. And sometimes you're going to run headlong into opposition. And Jesus is saying, in the world, you're going to have pressure. Pressure is inevitable. Now, just because you have pressure doesn't mean that you're going to be stressed out. You may experience stress trying to come on you, but you don't have to give in to stress. You know, the Christian life is not all about living stressed. You know, like, oh man, I'm just so stressed out. I look at the life of Jesus. He was not stressed out. And he had some serious issues that he had to deal with. You know, when you got people who are after you because they want to kill you, that can be potential stress. I remember I went with a team to the Philippines a few years ago. And we went into the southernmost island of Mindanao. It's quite a large island. But it is a communist stronghold. And the week before we went there, one of the churches had a hand grenade thrown into it during the service. Well, that makes you feel good going into that region when you hear about all these things. And we're going to go visit these churches. And the guy that we stayed with, he actually had you wouldn't call it an army, but it was 40 soldiers, 40 mercenaries who worked for him full time. And they guarded his property and stuff. And everywhere you went, like if you wanted to go somewhere, you would get in a Jeep with them and there'd be two of them with submachine guns, take you wherever you wanted to go. Well, there was kind of some assurance in that, but then there's also in the back of your mind, like, why do we need this? What is out there that's causing this guy to want this? And don't tell me that there's not the potential to be stressed in a situation like that. He actually had that because a few years earlier, one of his family members was kidnapped by the communist rebels and held to ransom. And And it was an amazing testimony, a great, you know, a deliverance from the Lord, really was. And God brought her out unharmed. But he now has this this band of 40 mercenaries who guard him. Pressure is inevitable. That's the thing that I want to say to you. Pressure also comes because of the word. And we looked at that. Now, in Mark chapter 4, if you're there, verse 16, give me an oi when you're there. So here Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower, and he said, the ones that are sown on stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they only endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation, now that's that same word, pressure. Afterward, when pressure or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Pressure comes for the word's sake, or pressure comes because of the word. When you make a decision to stand on the word of God, when you make a decision to do what God wants you to do, pressure will come. And there is an enemy who wants to ensure that you feel that pressure. And you need to understand that. You know, there's a lot of times that you will make a stand on the word of God, and all of a sudden it just seems like, well, to say a slang phrase, it almost seems like all hell's broken loose. You know, like, it's just like, what's going on? And it's a deliberate ploy of the enemy. He wants to do that because it's easier to pull out something when it's in seed form than to allow it to grow, take root, and then pull it out. And I know, hey, I've done some weeding in my time. And one time I allowed a weed to grow. And those of you, you've heard it, but I'll just share it quickly. There was this weed, a little weed in the backyard. Well, it was kind of a little bit bigger than the others, but it was still only like probably 20 centimeters high. And it was growing out of the tiles in the back porch. I remember looking at it and I thought, I've got to pull that out one day. And I just kind of left it. And then, you know, like a little while later, I saw it was a little bit bigger and I thought, oh, I've got to pull that out. That's right. Just keep going my business, and I let it go for a little bit longer, a little bit longer. And then soon, I'd forgotten totally about it. And one day when I came to get it, it had a trunk like that thick. It wasn't a weed anymore. It was a small tree. And I could not pull it out. Hey, and I could see that's what the devil wants. You know, he wants to try to pull out what God has put in your life in seed form while it's still a little weed. Well, not a weed, but while it's still a little sapling, while it's still small. If he can pull it out then, much easier then trying to allow, well, like what I did, allow it to take root, and then you just can't. I had to saw off a weed. I've never sawn off a weed before. So, yeah, don't do that. Hey, if you see a weed, just pull it out. But pressure will come because of the word, and the enemy will ensure that pressure is there because he wants to rob that seed. Jesus is talking about seed that comes into your life to bring life and bring victory and bring success and bring fruit in your life. And the enemy will come, and pressure comes because of the word. You need to understand that. That firstly, pressure situations are inevitable. And secondly, if you're going to decide to do what God wants you to do, you will experience pressure. Hallelujah. All right. And we then talked a little bit about let not your heart be troubled. And you don't, if you're a note taker, you can write this down. You don't need to turn there. But in John chapter 14, there's a couple of times where Jesus talked about not letting your heart be troubled. And in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was, he said this twice in the one chapter, and this was the night before he was executed. He, in a matter of hours, he was going to be betrayed. He was going to be then led and tortured and whipped. And then he was going to be led out and nailed to a cross where he was going to give his life for you and I. And he knew what was coming. And so he was trying to prepare his disciples. You know, I love this passage in John 14 and 15 and 16 because these are his final instructions. If you want to know about how to handle a crisis, this is an awesome place to read and reread because he is preparing his disciples for one of the worst crises anyone could ever go through. Man, they went through some serious stuff in the next 24 hours. And he said to them in the Amplified Version, that scripture, it says, peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. If you want to know how to handle pressure, here is a really good place to start. Do not allow your heart to get troubled. You know what that means? That means it puts the onus on us. Everybody's saying, God, God, help me, help me, help me, God, help me, God. I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed. God, do something about it. And here Jesus is saying, step one, stop allowing your heart to get troubled. It's hard, you know, if you let trouble into your heart, it's really hard then to cope with the situation. Much better to stop it from ever getting into your heart and then walk in dominion over that thing. Thank you for that thunderous silence. Letting your heart be troubled or not troubled is your choice. If Jesus, he instructed his disciples to do, he knew what they were going to face. Some people say, you don't understand my situation. My family's falling apart. Well, these disciples were about to see their master tortured and executed. So Jesus expects us to be able to do this and to stop it. The best way to do that is get your mind off the negatives, eh? If you want to be able to handle pressure, then stop allowing trouble to come into your heart. Don't let it get under your skin. Don't keep rehearsing problems. You know, the enemy loves to get us into our imagination where we're just replaying that negative thought or that negative situation, that person that constantly is harassing you, maybe at work, or that situation that's occurring in your finances, or that situation, that symptom in your body, and you're just seeing in your imagination, this is never going to change. This is going to go on forever, forever. And there's an echo in your mind, forever, 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 forever. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then we talked about how to handle pressure is release what's on the inside of you. If you're a child of God, the greater one lives in you. You know, you can have pressure coming against you, but if you allow the greater one to be released from the inside of you, if the pressure inside is greater than the pressure outside, you're not going to feel anything. Hey. Everybody's looking for absence of pressure. That is not God's plan for you and I. His plan for you and I is to allow what's on the inside to become so great that we don't feel the pressure on the outside. Remember those two bottles I shared with you last week? Two bottles on a plane that on the flight we went to the United States. One was filled and the other one I drank up and I just put the cap on. It looked exactly the same as the other bottle. I didn't squeeze it or crush it, and I just put it down. And when we landed, the empty one had crushed up by itself and crumbled up. Why? Because the pressure on the inside was smaller than the pressure on the outside when we landed. But the one that was filled with the water was untouched. It was unscathed. It was exactly the same. Release the greater one who's on the inside to work on your behalf. And the way you do that is by, like what Simo was saying, get into praise, get into worship. Start focusing on the good things that God's doing in your life. Start realizing that he's much greater than any problem or situation that you could ever encounter. And just begin to praise him and worship him. You'll find that pressure on the inside will begin to lift and suddenly you don't feel the pressure on the outside. It's awesome stuff, hey? All right, have a look at Romans chapter 5. I want to now go on a little bit from there and talk. This is a great passage of scripture that talks about pressure. Romans 5 verse 1. Give me an oi when you're there. All right. It says, therefore, having been justified or made right by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, I want you to pay attention to these next three verses because it's talking about pressure. And not only that, but we also rejoice in pressure, knowing that pressure produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If we want to learn how to handle pressure, we need to do what the word says. Do I hear an amen? You need to be a doer of the word. If you're just going to hear it and say, yeah, well, I know that, but I don't know what to do about this situation, you've got to start applying the Word of God. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You know, you can be absolutely dirty and filthy and work in a soap factory and be no cleaner unless you get the soap and apply it to your body. Is that right? You have to apply what you're hearing. You've got to take it and make it more than just, oh, that's an interesting thought, and turn it into action in your life. And that's when things begin to turn around. And here, this scripture in verse 3 says, not only that, but we also rejoice in pressure. Rejoice when pressure comes. You rejoice in the midst of pressure, but I want you to notice it also says rejoice because. That's such a strange thing. Rejoice in pressure, knowing this, that pressure produces perseverance. I remember the first time I read that, you know, and I was looking at it, I thought, rejoice? Rejoice because pressure produces perseverance? Yeah. Rejoice because that pressure, you know, the pressure situations you're in are just opportunities to see God glorified in your life. The pressure situations you encounter, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a doctor that's giving you a bad report or whether things have just gone wrong at work and it just looks like maybe they're going to cut your hours down or maybe even let you go. Rejoice because pressure produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And I want to talk a little bit about all of these things. Hey, pressure produces perseverance. Perseverance produces proven character. Proven character produces hope, and hope is never disappointed because of the love of God. You know, this word perseverance, it talks about pressure producing perseverance. It's the word hupomone. Am I saying that right, John? Hupomone? It means endurance, a constancy, a patient, continuous. It means to hold one's ground in conflict, to bear up against adversity. It actually comes from two words. Hupo and mone are two different words. Hupo means under, and mone means abide or stay. So to stay or abide under. When you're in pressure, you can rejoice because pressure produces this ability to abide under a situation. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. Abiding under doesn't mean that you're passively just kind of cowering in a corner, sucking your thumb, just thinking like, that's it, I'm dead, you know? No, this means far more than that. In my word wealth, it said this word hupomone literally means to actively and energetically resist defeat in the face of problems or in the face of opposition. Perseverance is an active, energetic resistance to defeat. When you're in pressure, you can rejoice because pressure will produce an active, energetic resistance to defeat. Is anyone here this morning? That is awesome. That's what's going to be produced in your life, an active, energetic resistance to defeat. You know, we live in such a microwave society, we just expect everything to happen just like that. Everything's just push button. And no one knows anymore how to wait on God. And yet the scriptures are full with exhortations about wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. How long do I have to wait? I've got things to do. And it's just like no one wants to wait for anything. Now listen, God wants to give you stuff immediately. You see it in the ministry of Jesus, and he modeled that for us. Immediately people were healed. Immediately there was deliverance. But there is times where you will encounter pressure, and there's a time where you will go through things. I'm not talking about it's God's will for you to go through a sickness and endure that for a long, long time. But there is sometimes where your faith, you're learning how to cooperate with the Spirit of God and release your faith, and you're feeling that pressure because the symptoms on your body are screaming. That's not God withholding. It's not God stopping it. He wants to give it to you right now. If God had his way in everyone's life, there would never be a single person that was sick. But God doesn't have his way in everyone's life, does he? There's lots of people that say, I don't want you to have any way in my life. And then there's a lot of Christians who act like they love God, but they've got their own personal agendas. And so God can only meet us at the place we're at and get us to cooperate with him. But sometimes you are going to experience pressure in situations. Sometimes you're making a stand on the word. You know that it's, that he says, by his wounds you were healed. But your body is still screaming and saying, it's not working. Nothing's happening. And when you're feeling that pressure, that's when you need to rejoice and understand that pressure produces an active, energetic resistance to defeat. You start rejoicing in that situation, saying, God, I don't care what my body says. Your word is working in my life right now. That's what Joy was doing when that cancer was in her body. And she didn't realize, but that cancer in her bowel had dissolved until God spoke that to her. In fact, there was one night she said, is it doing anything? And then the Lord spoke to her and said, your faith has stopped this cancer from spreading into all these other areas. He talked about the bowels and different things. I want to show you some areas, some scriptures where this word is used, eh? Perseverance. We're talking about pressure producing perseverance. That word perseverance literally means endurance or patience. It's translated like that in the Bible. And here's the first example I want to show you. Jesus said this to his disciples in Luke chapter 21:19. You don't need to turn there, it's there on the screen. He said, by your endurance. Now it's the same word, perseverance. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. In other words, by your active and energetic resistance to defeat, you will gain your lives. Don't just accept everything that happens in your life as, well, I guess this must be the will of God, eh? God, I'm just trusting you in this. No. There needs to be a resistance. You need to recognize what's of God and what's not of God. Yeah, some people have confusion over that. I remember when Apostle Garnett was not well. I remember talking to this one Christian guy, and he said, wow. He said, he's got cancer, has he? And I said, yeah. I said, apparently he does. And he said, I wonder if this is his cross to bear. See, you need to know what's of God and what's not. And if you don't, what'll happen is you become like this foolish person I was talking to, where something like that'll happen in your life and you think, oh, God, just have your way in my life. And there's a lot of Christians that do that. I remember talking to this one lady, and she actually came to me, and she was quite upset because she had had this condition in her feet that the doctors had no answer for. And her basic conclusion was, I guess I've just got this for the glory of God. I remember looking at her and I said, I can't see anybody glorifying God when they look at your feet. She said, oh, well, you know, just the example, I've got to have the right attitude in this and it'll glorify God. And I said, well, I don't see people glorifying God when they talk to you. But if you don't know what's of God and what's not of God, you can get into confusion like that. It's really easy. Hey, John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he said, but I've come to give life and give abundantly. You know the difference. If it's stealing from your life, if it's killing, if it's destroying things in your life, that's from the thief. Jesus came to give life. If it's giving life, then it comes from Jesus. If it's life, Jesus. If it's not life, not Jesus. Pretty easy, hey? Hallelujah. But here in the scripture, he says, by your active, energetic resistance to defeat, you will gain your life. You know, there will be times you will have to actively, energetically resist things that are trying to drag you into defeat. You know, your body won't heal unless you actively, energetically resist sickness. And that's, you're not going to get that by pulling sickies every week. You know, some creatures, oh, yeah, I believe in healing. And the next day they're pulling a sickie. Oh, I'm sick. Don't do that. You know, you're robbing yourself of your own authority. This, you know, God wants you to have authority so that whatever you speak comes to pass. Scripture is filled with that. Jesus himself said, if you say it and you believe it, you'll have whatever you say in Mark 11:23. In Proverbs, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. God wants to be able to turn the volume up in that so that you have full authority to get whatever you say when you say it. But how's that going to happen if you don't start watching what you say? I remember the Lord picked me up on that years ago, and I wanted to take a day off and spend it with joy. And I remember the Lord was saying to me, don't confess you're sick if you're not sick. And I thought, yeah, you're right, okay. So I rang work, and I said, I'm not coming in today. They go, okay, you're having a sickie. And I go, no, I'm not sick. They go, are you coming into work? I go, no. They go, okay, we'll put you down as sick. I said, don't put me down as sick. I'm not sick. He goes, are you coming into work? And I said, no. He goes, so you're having a sick day? And I go, no, I'm not. I'm just having a day off. And he just didn't get it. But see, for me, it was important because God had been talking to me. You need to respond when God talks to you, hey? Otherwise, he stops talking. And then you standing there wondering after a few months, oh, God, why aren't you talking to me anymore? I never seem to hear you. Respond when he starts talking to you. Start putting it into action in your life. I was determined. I said to the inspector, I said, I don't care. I said, do not write me down as sick. I am not sick. I want the day off. Now, if I get paid for it, that'll be great. But if I don't get paid for it, I don't mind. But I am not sick. See, then when I speak to my body and the symptoms on it, my body responds, eh? You start, you know, some people, their lifestyle is just like filled with unbelief because they exaggerate things. Oh, they tell little white lies here and they spin the truth and stretch the truth. You know what you're doing? You are practicing unbelief because you don't believe what you say. And Jesus said it only works if you believe what you say will come to pass. Start cleaning up your mouth so that you are consistent, that whatever you say, you believe and you're going to carry out in your life. And then when you do that, you will find God will open up and release greater authority. He wants to do that. The only reason he's not doing that is to protect you and me from destroying ourselves. And so your body won't heal unless you actively, energetically resist it. That means, you know, you get a symptom on your body and you get reminded of that and you've prayed for it and the devil might be saying, nothing's working. You just say, get off me. You don't belong on me. I'm free of you. Body, I don't care what you're telling me. I don't care about that pain. This pain does not belong on my body. Jesus carried my pain. That's the way you handle it. You find you start doing that as a lifestyle, you will find the symptoms get less and less. That is my experience. You know, the symptoms of sickness do not last on my body anywhere near as much as they last on other people's. Many times they go just within hours or within a day. Your finances won't turn around unless you actively and energetically resist lack. It's got very quiet in this Presbyterian church, hasn't it? You need to actively, energetically resist lack. Sometimes symptoms of lack can appear in your life where it's just like, man, it's just not enough to go around. And it can appear really intimidating. Don't ever, ever, ever allow lack to stop you from being a giver. Make sure you present your tithe. Make sure you look for opportunities. Put it in your budget. This is what Joy and I do. It doesn't matter how big our bills are. There's always a percentage of our income. I mean, the tithe is set aside. That's a given. But there's also a percentage of our income that we put aside to give. We've always got money to give. Sometimes we have thousands. Sometimes we have a little because it depends on how the Lord leads us. But you never, ever want to allow your budget to tell you what to do. Jesus didn't allow that. When the multitude were there and they hadn't eaten for a little while and the disciples said, look, they're probably hungry, send them away. Jesus didn't say, well, I guess we'll have to cancel the meeting. Hey, we don't have enough food. We don't even have enough money to feed you guys, eh? So we'll meet tomorrow again. He didn't do that, did he? He just said to his disciples, you guys give them something to eat. And then he demonstrated how to do it. Don't allow lack to stop you from being a giver. Here's another example in Luke 8:15. The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it and they bear fruit with patience. That's the same word, perseverance. This is talking about the hundredfold return. If you want to bear fruit, you have to bear fruit with an active, energetic resistance to defeat in the face of adversity. That's how the hundredfold return. Success in business doesn't just happen overnight. It requires active, energetic resistance to defeat. When you set up it, when you set out in business, it's just not plain sailing. Hey, it just feels like there's so many questions that need to be answered and you just don't know where to start. But God will lead you. He'll guide you. He'll provide for you. I remember when we first started up our tutoring business, you know, for about 9 months, that was a lot of work we did. Just, I was working as a chaplain. Joy was working in childcare. And we really had it on our heart to set up this business. And there was a, you know, a lot of times I'd just come home from work. I would be tired and spend time with the boys and get them to bed and then feel even more tired and have to go and try to see if I can do some more work and untangle all this, you know, what are the legal requirements and all of these things and what about accounting? How do I even account for all this stuff? And anyway, we finally did that. And, you know, if you've got a tutoring business, you need two things. You need clients, but you can't have a client without a tutor. But what's the use of having a tutor if you don't have a client? And so we kind of came to that place. We thought, where do we start? We thought, well, I guess we're going to have to get tutors. We're just going to have to step out. And so we advertised for tutors to come and join us. And one of the first applications we got was this from this guy called Eric. And he was from France. And I interviewed, you know, and he's got this strong French accent. And I said, what can you tutor? And he said, I can tutor French and I can tutor mathematics. And I said, well, I don't know if we really need a French tutor. I said, but we can probably do with someone with mathematics. And so, you know, we had a chat and I thought, yep, you'll be good. And he said, so, you know, he said, what happens now? And I said, well, I said, you need a blue card. Otherwise, you can't go and tutor people under 18. And I said, let us know when you get a blue card. And within a week, he got it. Like, normally it takes like ages. And within a week, he called us. He said, you know, I had my blue card. He said, when can we start? And I said, we get in touch with you real soon. We had no calls, nothing. We're just starting off, you know. And within a couple of days of Eric letting us know that he had his blue card, our first customer rang and said, oh, look, I don't know if you can help me. I have just a really unusual request, and everywhere I've rung, they can't help me. And I said, well, fire away and let us know. And she said, well, my daughter is really struggling with maths. And she's in year 9. She said, the school where she's in, they teach maths in French. And she said, I need someone who can teach her maths in the French language. And I said, look, I'll just check my database. I said, I think we may be able to help you. God knows, doesn't he? Hey, God knows. But you know, those things don't come about just like, wow, look at that. It just went. Sometimes there's a pressure that's there, hey, and that pressure is there to produce that active, energetic resistance to defeat. Sometimes the enemy will try to put that pressure on you and you just want to give up. And that's when you need to just decide, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to walk forward and we're going to get this thing done because I know God is with me. Do I hear an amen? You know, Peter Daniels went into business years ago. He went into business. And within a few months, he lost everything. He paid it all back, went into business again, and lost everything again. And paid it back. And then his wife said to him, Peter, you know, like he wanted to go into business a third time. And she said, Peter, we can't afford this. The kids need shoes, they need clothes. We are struggling to make ends meet. You can't go into business again. We've failed twice. Peter, let's just get a job. And he's saying, no. He just knew that God was calling him. What was he doing? He was actively, energetically resisting defeat. Pressure produces that perseverance. Third time he went into business, lost it all, paid it back. Fourth time he went into business and he built one of the largest real estate corporations in Australia. He sold it for hundreds of millions of dollars a number of years later. Hey, he said the reason he sold it and moved on is he said he got bored with it. He said it was too easy to make money that way. He wanted to find something that was a bit more challenging. He's got his own gold bullion company. Now, God has blessed him, loves the Lord. You know, he got paid one time $1 million by a Texan. This guy said, I need to talk to you. And Peter said, I don't have time. And he said, I'll give you $1 million for 15 minutes of your time. Peter said, have a seat. This guy talked to him for 15 minutes. and the wisdom that he received from Peter Daniels in that 15-minute conversation, this Texan turned into a $120 million profit by the end of the year. But it didn't just happen. Everything didn't just fall into place for him. There were numerous times where he was feeling that pressure, that temptation to just give in, give it up. Just stop what you're doing. How many times do you feel that when the enemy's coming against you? That's the time when you need to rejoice and realize this pressure is going to produce in me perseverance. And that's a good thing to have in your life. Why is it a good thing? Because perseverance produces proven character. I'll just show you one more scripture and then we'll move in. This is a wonderful scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. And that's the same word that we're talking about, this perseverance, this patience. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You know, sometimes there is a period of time between the promise and the manifestation of that promise. And this is not God holding back stuff. Hey, look, in some cases, in finances, sometimes there are certain things that need to line up. Or in some situations, I remember when I went for a job as a chaplain, I'd never thought about being a chaplain. When I went for it, God showed me, this is where I want you to go. And I applied for that job. I thought I had no chance. And in the natural, I didn't. I didn't have any chance because I had not done youth ministry for a long time. But I remember when I applied, I remember God was saying, this is yours. But he said, now you need to be patient. He said, I have to move things into place for you to get this. And I thought, all right, yeah, no worries. Like the next day, I got a call for an interview. I thought, man, this patient stuff is pretty good, eh? It works great. I went to, did the interview, and they said, we'll let you know by the end of the week. I thought, yeah, okay, I can handle that. I can be patient. And God reminded, you have to be patient. I'm moving things into place for you. Hey, well, the end of the week came and went. Didn't hear a phone call. Another week went, didn't hear anything. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks went. And now I'm thinking, oh, maybe they've lost my number. Maybe I need to call them. You know how your mind can start going and you want to just kind of help God out? God, I know you want me to have this job. Maybe I need to call them and just remind them that I'm here. And God was saying, don't do it. 5 weeks went, 6 weeks went, 7 weeks went. And I thought, come on, I can join the dots. They don't call you because you didn't get it, you know. And I'd just about given up, completely given up. And Joy and I were just thought, what are we going to do? And then I get this phone call. And it was from them. And they said, do you still want the job? I said, yeah. And they said, oh. They said, yep, look, you've got it. And later I found out that when I went for the interview, there were two other guys that also went for the interview. And after the interview, they worked it all out and they gave person number A. Person number one, they said, yep, he's got the job. And like a week later, he called them back and he said, look, there have been some things, some changes in my circumstances. I cannot take this job. So then they convened again and they had a chat. And they said, we've got Les Gomes, we've got this other guy. Who are we going to get? And they go, we'll give it to this other guy. So person number two, they called him. They said, you got the job. He said, fine. He said, I'll move down into Brisbane and everything. And it was all going to happen. And then a week later, he called and he said, I can't take the job. He says, there's been some changes in my circumstance. So then they convened again. They said, well, we got Les Gomes. What are we going to do? Yeah. It's the sort of stuff that really builds your self-esteem, hey? But you know, it really thrilled me because like what it shows is that it doesn't matter what man wants to do, God will have his way. And they really didn't want to give me the job. Even after they said they'll give me the job, Scripture Union didn't want to hire me. And I remember I got onto the assistant director and I said, you are not taking this away. I've been believing God. I've been standing on the word for 7 weeks for this. I said, this job's mine. I don't think he'd ever heard someone talk like that to him. I wasn't really angry with him. I was just so this is it. God, you promised me this is mine. And I was anointed, hey. I was anointed. There was no one that could have done the stuff that I did, not because of me, but because I was where God wanted me to be. And same with you. If you're where God wants you to be, no one can do what he's called you to do. where he's called you to be. But, you know, there's pressure, hey, there's pressure that comes. And this scripture in Hebrews, it says, you have need of an active, energetic resistance to defeat so that after you have done what God wants you to do, you may receive the promise. You know, when Joel was offered, he'd worked in City Beach for, how long had you worked before you got that offer for the management position? Yeah, so a few years. So about 3 years, it was because it was last year, wasn't it? So about 3 years he'd been working, and he'd been working full-time for at least a couple of those years. And he'd really been believing God for the promotion. You know, and in fact, there were times where he was frustrated. He said, God, why aren't they coming to me to offer me a promotion? Like, I'm a good worker. I'm a fast worker. And he really had his faith out there. What he didn't realize is he had the senior manager of that store really disliked him. And she was doing things to make life difficult for him, but she was bad mouthing him to the regional, because the regional would come along and he would talk to her and say, what about Joel? You know, maybe we should look at getting him trained up and start him off in the management path. And she would just bag him out and say, no, he's not suitable. You know, he's just unreliable, all this stuff. And then finally, she actually then was, took some maternity leave, and there was another manager that came in, and then the regional was talking to him. And then the guy said to him, why haven't you ever looked at Joel? And he said, I looked at Joel a number of times, but the other one said, and he said, no, he said, Joel is a great worker. So anyway, the regional came to Joel and said, we want to start you off in management. We want to start training you as a manager. You are going to get a significant rise in pay. It's all going to be all these perks. I talked to him about all the possibilities that were ahead. And he said, but your days off are going to change and you're going to have to be working on Sundays. And Joel said, hang on a minute, Sundays, you want me to work Sundays? And he said, yeah, he said, is there a problem? And he said, well, I've got church on Sunday. And the guy said, listen, if you want to start a career path with us, you're going to have to let some things go. He said, so you're going to have to work Sundays. If you want to be a manager, every manager who starts in this position has these days off. That means you're going to have to work Sundays. And Joel said, but there's another manager that has other days off. What if I swap with him and he takes the Sunday and works that? He doesn't mind doing it, and I'll take his. And this regional manager just got irritated with him. He said, look, he said, this is the way we're doing it. Either you want it or not. And Joel said, can I have 24 hours to think about it? So he said, fine. So Joel came home and he was talking to us. And he said, what do I do? He said, you know, I have to work Sundays if I take the job. And we said, well, what do you believe? And he said, well, I don't want to miss. He said, I don't want to miss church. He said, but I want this promotion. And we said, well, you have to pray and you have to decide. What are the priorities in your life? And he said, well, he did pray and he thought about it. And he said, church is a priority. We said, well, if that's what you believe, then you need to tell him that you are not taking the position. And I said, but you need to tell him without apologizing. Don't you apologize ever for doing what God wants you to do. Hey, doesn't matter. If God's told you to do something, don't say, oh, look, I'm sorry, I can't do that. No. Just say, no, I'm not doing it. Let them wear it. Hey. And I said to Joel, I said, don't you apologize. I said, if you believe this is what God wants you to do, then you just tell him thank you, but no thank you. So Joel went in, the guy rang him and said, what's your decision? And he said, mate, he said, I've been waiting for this offer for a long time. He said, I really, really want it. He said, but I'm not prepared to give up Sundays. He said, that's the day I go to church. He said, so you're going to have to find someone else. The guy said, fine, hung up. Within a couple of days, they'd put someone else in that position. Now, don't tell me that you would not feel pressure in that situation. When you see this new manager operating from another store and you realize that could have been your position, there is a temptation to give in to pressure. There is a temptation to just start sucking your thumb and saying, it's just not fair, God. But he never, ever did it, hey? He never, ever did it. And by the end of that week, that same regional manager came and saw him and said, listen, I've been thinking about it. And there's another manager actually that has days off that you could do, and we could give him these days off and you could have those days off and you could still be a manager. And Joel said, that's a great idea. And he ended up getting the job. Pressure will produce perseverance. Perseverance will produce proven character. I think I might round it up, eh? I don't think I'm ever going to finish messages. I think I'll just stop. We'll continue another time, hey. You know, there's so many things. Anyway, but yeah, maybe another time. Let's stand up. God has so much for you and I. But we need to understand the pressure situations will come. And it's not God's will for you to live a stressful life. But in the midst of that stress, He wants to bring a strength in you to such a level that you just do not feel that stress anymore. And that you walk completely calm. That's what we see with the life of Jesus. That's what we see with the lives of the apostles. They were able to walk in the midst of hugely pressure situations where their lives were in danger and they were completely at peace. And God wants that for you and I. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord God, for the great plans that You have for us. We thank You. This is the year of more, Lord God, where we will experience more victory, more breakthrough, more joy, more peace, Lord God. We will experience more of You in our lives. And we are so rejoicing in that, to walk with You and to praise You and to worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.